It is December 27th, 2020. It's 8:17 in the morning, and I'm coming down from the high point of my hike. It's not much of a hike. It's an hour and 10 minutes or so to the top, but it's a pretty good elevation gain. Fresh air. It's, no real complaints. I'm on a road though, and the last 20 minutes the pavement turns to gravel, and some of the gravel is 2.5 inch minus, and it's so that's pretty uncomfortable under running shoes, and you slip a fair amount. But it's not all that way, but some of it is, and I don't like that. Rained like heck last night, windstorm. Rain. The catchment tanks filled up. My landlord only has 10,000 gallons, and you know, a dozen sheep, a cow, her own pool and water tub, and a lot of the watering on the grounds. If I had a place like that, and I wanted to, I live in a cottage on the property, and but I'm one of her. She hasn't had many longer-term renters. She just doesn't like to have to share the property with anyone, but I guess she needed the money. She should have 20,000 gallons because we probably had, 3 hours of downpour after the tanks overflowed. And we had to spend almost $500 this past summer to bring in a 4,500 gallon water truck. And this is a hassle. I guess she was hearing her talk. It was just, she barely got this place going. She's a retired school teacher and got defrauded and, in some of the aspects of this home development, she built it. But it was, she had to go back and work for 3 more years in order to pay for the loss of, the money that she lost and this one contractor that robbed her. Blah, blah, blah. So, hey, congratulations on getting this property and building it where you did. It's great. I'm thankful. But I would have had, double the water capacity, especially if I had irrigation needs. I think I had a 4,000 gallon redwood tank when I lived in Ocean View many years ago, and that was okay. There might have been 2 or 3 times in 6 years that I had water delivered. I didn't water anything on the property. The Ohia, we got enough regular rain or occasional rain where at least the Ohia trees got what they needed. They're pretty pretty durable, tough plants situated for the islands here. What do I want to say? Well, a bunch of stuff. I'm not going to say it all now. My mind has been just undermined. I think as the succubus has gained some strength in me, and then my job has just been brutal. Brutal. I don't like my work, but it's a source of income, and I hope to transfer to another type of instructional setting that, where rather than being an inclusion teacher for a couple of just ball busting and one of them really mean-spirited, ugly people. Working under her dominion, I want to have my own show, my own classroom, and maybe work with older kids. So that's a drain. But since September, I haven't had the energy for working out. Like this past week, the succubus has set up taps of my cerebellum during the day. other drains that I'm not aware of, such that my thinking has been completely sidetracked. I mean, it's unbelievable how little I've accomplished in a week. I tried to fast that first day, and then I was hammered like 3 days in a row from her. I mean, truly off the charts, heart racing, misfirings, etc. And then all night long, just was like being keel hauled etherically, my being. It was just unreal. You know, attacking brachial plexus, thymus gland, wadding up in the thyroid and tonsils area, stimulating hunger sensations in my esophagus, attacking my feet, my right knee, my right big toe, solar plexus all over the place, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it just was endless. And more than that, or just, you know, in that same vein, I was, the heart control in the night was just much more strident, faster, harder, more of a staccato, brutalizing vibration to it for more hours of the night. I would say she was sleepless at least a couple of those nights. I think she started tapering off the third night, and then that fourth day it was a little bit of a reprieve, but I was demoralized, let's just put it that way. I mean, I had been demoralized, but I just felt lifeless, listless. I felt like I, you know, and then also when you're so sapped and your efforts to be free are so fully thwarted, there's a feeling, kind of like hopelessness, pointlessness. It's like, it was something I'm not used to. And, you know, suicide crossed my mind, and that's something that shouldn't be crossing my mind. You know, this body, this is something I've been hinting at this week, or trying to get to, in some written statements, but my body from my earliest memory, you know, from just hours and hours at the beach as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, to playing tennis against walls, ping pong by myself with the board tilted up, running, playing basketball. I could play basketball for 2 hours in the afternoon. Going into dark, after school, I'd be down at the park. I'm talking from, the endless games with my friends. You know, so let's say from fourth grade to, you know, certainly through eighth grade, there was just an immersion in my physical activity, and also an immersion in reading. You know, when I wasn't exercising, playing, doing athletics, than I was reading a book. I think the only time I watched TV was maybe when I was having cereal or something, you know. I mean, I did watch my fair share of game shows and cartoons, but I don't remember just being there for hours and hours. I was always doing other stuff. And so, what is that all saying? And then going into high school, the running, the track, especially the track, track and field, I would do 2-hour runs just for my general baseline physical conditioning. And this is something that I kept up through my petition to God for Kundalini Awakening. Maybe it was at my third year of college. Yeah, third year of college. And that whole, all of that kind of climaxed and extinguished itself with crew. Crew was just way too much of an emphasis on the physical, you know, getting up in the dark, multiple practices a day, constantly working out, getting excessively bulky up in my chest. I didn't like that. And crew is just basta enough. But I did it for a year, and we did it well for a novice boat. All this is to say is that my path in life has been informed and directed by my body. And that's something that you don't hear about, you know, from, you know, when you read fasting guides, like by Paul Bragg, other people. You know, Paul's famous for saying that flesh is dumb. And that's basically the sense that you get from most yogic, I mean, I'm reading right now, an exposition of the yoga of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras, and all that's about controlling the mind, controlling the body, bending it towards, I would call it the afterlife, as opposed to inspiring and breathing life into the body to such an extent that, you know, you achieve a vibrational liftoff velocity. And let's just say that that whole MO of mine has been, which has been the case for 53 years, that's been challenged. This what I've come to be inhabited by that first week, again, I don't know. I mean, again, the blame is on her for not intuiting or not following the intuition that I was not suited to be a equal partner with her, that I was green. I was not ripe, ready for harvest. I was not prepared for her. And therefore, her commingling, her union with me, would come at the price of my spiritual realization. She had to have intuited that. Or at least she should have. I'm going to say, if I had a wager, if I had to place a bet on something, on a point of view, that's what it would be. It was on her to know whether or not I was ready for her. And therefore, the intention with coming into me, yeah, I begged for a union, but I didn't know what kind of union. I didn't know what price would be paid. I didn't know. I wanted to be with her. It was heartbreaking to be connected to her, yet have her be fucking someone else. It was just brutal. Brutal! And as I told her in an email, spiritual rape. And it was. So then why did she come into me? And then I'm going to say, you know, if I were have to wager, and even if this was not conscious on her part, it might as well have been, the intention was to dominate me and to hold me in her thrall, and it was in a position of subordination, spiritual subordination to her, as she's fucking someone else. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And I felt my brain, my crown, completely becoming completely subsumed by her energetic, you know, this tractor beam. And it was devastating. It was the loss of my intellectual and critical aspirations. That's what I felt it to be. All being sucked into some girl that doesn't talk, that and that it has given her body to another person. It was untenable, unacceptable, and therefore after 1 week I did everything in my power to break free, and I was successful. That was just me and her. You know, God was watching, but you know, that was our contest. One sec. And I'm not going to relive that weekend, and there's a lot of things I don't want to relive right now. I haven't explained myself well enough on what I call the, you know, say the five, you know, I don't know, three to five opportunities that God has offered me to break free. And I haven't measured up. There's a lot of background to explore there. It's not, I wouldn't say that I, you know, am a failure necessarily. The, you know, I don't know. I don't want to talk about it now. But what this conversation is about is having the body be your vehicle, which runs contrary to most yogic traditions. It's, you know, yoga is about, yeah, you know, you stretch it, you get limber, but it's all about silencing the body and silencing the mind and letting some sort of stillness break through or emerge or become autonomous or something. And that just, I've met people who, you know, I went to the Blue Mountain Meditation Center for some weekend retreat once, and Eknath Eshwaran, he was there, and I don't know if he's a realizer, he's certainly a practitioner, but people like him, and, or I saw, what's her name, Amachi, but the people that are practicing these yogic or meditative traditions, I generally find very boring. They're boring, they're no fun. And there's this sort of calm, preternatural calm, unnatural stillness about them that just makes my skin crawl. I just feel like shaking them like a rag doll. And it's not something I can adopt. I don't want to. I mean, it certainly hasn't been my whole life has been getting high, gaining insight through physical release, but release in a guided way, an intelligent way, using my best information, having my mind, whatever thoughts come to it, try to resonate or play off of or be grounded in the truth of the physical body. And so I think it's partly that that explains why at the point of your normal enlightenment that I reached in July of 94, my heart spoke to me so clearly, because I'd been listening to my heart all my life. My body, I'd been safe. I had not been abused. I had a loving mother and a father who, you know, though an asshole frequently, you know, but he was very smart. Very independent, and totally dedicated to nature and surfing and taking his boys out into the wilds on a regular basis. And you know, we'd have these 2 or 3 hour marathon surfing sessions, you know, at Huntington Beach and other places while I was in high school, for sure. Just epic, you know, if it was a good swell. And then just go home and eat and sleep. And, you know, what am I saying? I truly appreciate my dad for that. And my dad was then, he was reinforcing this already strong tendency in me. And I was allowed to do in-person instruction, not this bullshit COVID, you know, virtual learning thing going on now where kids aren't doing sports. There's no contact sports. There's no roughhousing in the gym. You know, I mean, when I was in 7th and 8th grade at my middle school, we would play basketball. I forget, we had some names for it, but basically we'd be slamming into each other, you know, running, going into the hoop, but always seeking contact with each other. It was like it was a proving ground. You know, we were like a bunch of, you know, male, bull pups, you know, male elephant seal bull pups, or, you know, baby, you know, juvenile rams practicing their locking horns with one another. There's some obnoxious dogs here, but I'll just keep on talking. And so it's not the situation I find myself in, which is like the disintegration of my path of being able to access this body for truth, for reinforcement, for direction, for grounding. It's really quite something. Quite something. And so I'm hiking now, you know, giving up my morning routine of writing, because I'm under such attack now that I, in the afternoon, I typically do not have the energy for a hike, at least anything of any vigor. You know, I'm stopping halfway, not getting the real physical exercise that I need. And so I'm just trying to make sure that my physical body is, its needs are being met as much as I can. And then this would be the backdrop or the ground from which God tries to rescue me. And this brings up a whole other thing, you know, because I do know there is not a physical solution to my problem. It's entirely spiritual. You know, I mean, yes, the spirit will manifest and be palpable to my body in the process of gaining release. But, you know, without this etheric intervention of a very, very major sort, I don't have a chance. I do not have a chance. That's my belief. That's my experience of this matter. And look, the last time I got any help, any major help, was like 6 months ago. And so the opportunities are getting fewer and farther between. The succubus continues to give me hunger pangs, you know, fake hunger pangs. Which tells me that there remains a viable path to freedom within me still. You know, otherwise she wouldn't be so concerned about it that she's spending 15 minutes at 3 a.m. you know, messing with my esophagus. So that's good to know. Unfortunately, I've got so much I need to do that I kind of need to wait till summertime, which is ridiculous. I kind of need to wait till summertime to really go for another fast, because I just don't have the time right now. And I've got to work on my on my taxes, and then honestly, I've got a week ahead of me. Because of the compromised state my mind is in, it's very hard for me to to apply myself to my special education paperwork, or to get some of these instructional or documentation things done. There's a lot of work in this whole virtual learning environment. I mean, I've got 8 Google Classrooms I maintain, all sorts of stuff going on with it, and it's just a lot of work. And it's exhausting. You know, you're staring at a computer all day. This fake interaction with people. I try to make the most of it, but it's not a world I enjoy. It's a job right now. Like right now, she's attacking my left ear. Great. Trying to dominate the sound there. Although she's been breathing in my ear most of this hike. But it's been paired with my own Kundalini sound there. Kundalini is mild but persistent in my right ear. She's kind of squatting over the spigot on both ends. So, I don't really have the time or the energy at this time, at this moment, for a fast, because my job is so intense, for me at least, it is. You know, it's just a lot. I've had to learn so much. You know, before I moved out here, I had very little knowledge of Google Documents, Google Drives, all of that stuff. And now, you know, my whole world is, it's like defined by the virtual space in Google, the corporation. What else? Yeah, so that's the question. You know, how can I give my body enough physical attention that I'm able to trigger or ground a spiritual response? Because I was feeling overall, my body was becoming hammered to such an extent that I didn't have the energy for a fast, and I just felt hopeless. And really in that state of physical neglect was alien to me. You know, in the past, maybe if I ever went a day or two without exercise, or if I ever went to bed at 7 p.m., it was because I was ill, and I sprang back the next day. You know, if I went to bed at 7 p.m. or 6 p.m., it's because I was ill, and then the next day I'd be super energized, because all you need is one day of sleep. But, you know, it kind of reminds me of this wildlife documentary where I think it's a lioness is bitten by a king cobra, which can usually kill. I think it's a king cobra, some snake, some bad snake. And normally it would like kill the creature, the animal, that bite. But she was immobile for a week, just lying there, fasting and resting. And then she came out of it. But it was a major brush with death, and she needed rest. Well, I've been trying to rest for months on end, and it just hasn't resulted in my release. And I would like to think that God offers us a way out, no matter where we are. But that's not necessarily the case. You know, you can be so far gone that it's like pretty darn, the chances are really slim that you'll come out of it. And so I'm just wondering how extensive and deep this metastasization of the succubus's presence within me has gone. But I'm here another day, and here I am. Can't coming up on some homes, but I'll just hang on here. I'll just keep on going. Wild chickens. The physical body. Yeah, so I need a quart in etheric response, and from my fast in June, it required a sort of a renunciation of my physical body. I didn't eat, and I had the strength to not eat. But right now I feel like my physical body is at such a deficit that I've had to pay more attention to it. So I'm not sure how this balance between the needs of my physical body and then the invitation to a spiritual or etheric subtle rescue, how that's going to play out. If I'm exercising and not eating, I'm wondering, well, does God come to me on day 4 instead of day 8? Or not at all. In the past, usually these opportunities for spiritual emancipation from the succubus have been lost my train of thought because I'm passing another home that I usually talk to the owner and his dogs. Yeah, so I just don't know the right balance to strike. And I've kind of erred on the side of supporting my physical body, even if that means I need to eat. You know, if I need to eat in order to have the energy for a hike, and I need the hike in order to support my physical body, then I'm going to do that. Part of that is I've just felt resistance, and like the time is not right. I'm weak, whatever. Into the fast. You know, I made it one day into this last fast attempt last week Saturday, and I felt terrible. Felt really weak, really hopeless, just wanting food and not feeling good about much of anything. And I ate, and she hammered me no matter what. I got really taken to the woodshed. I mean, just unbelievable. The rippling of just this angry rippling of subtle energy across my solar plexus. It was just like a vibration of just attack. All my nerves in my solar plexus lit up, and it just moved, just like a waves, a hot wind from her was running through me as my heart was brutalized. The waves in my stomach were just for, I don't know, 5 minutes or something, 10 minutes. But the heart trauma persisted for hours and hours. Okay, hang on. Okay, I think I'm going to wrap it up in a moment here. And that's, I think, the thrust of just this comment. So I do wander too much at my site. I wander way too much in my thoughts. And I want to stay focused here a little bit. It's just the point I want to get across is, to what extent can the body be our guide on the spiritual path? Is the body dumb? Does the body represent a higher truth? In terms of our spiritual path, our spiritual realization. And then this idea that women, not just the highest forms of them, like this girl, you know, beautiful, physically fit, and possessing a just physically dynamic, and then possessing an incredible subtle potential to match my realization, a man's realization, and to be and to join with it. But then also, you know, my mom, who doesn't have that capacity as far as I can tell, but has some of this, some qualities where for a woman it is either complete union with the man, and if that is rejected, if that, you know, to no fault, you know, due to no fault of hers in her mind, if that is rejected or is destroyed or is ruined, then absolute destruction of the man. And those are the two things. Those are the two things I have faced with this girl. And now, unfortunately, because of the way in which I approached my path and my perceiving EMF as something that was wholly irreconcilable with my path, and I've seen no real ability on the part of God to adapt me to it, to make me not feel it. Anyways, I'm in this sort of state of perpetual incompleteness that I'm unwilling to change until I can be assured that I can live, have a life where I'm in control of my exposures for the most part. You know, I've developed where I have developed a bedroom, I have a bedroom or a house that is in a protected area, and then either my work exposures are acceptable somehow, or I'm retired and I don't need to worry about it, and it's just, I only need to feel major cell tower exposure when I go shopping or do other things in town. But for the most part, I'm able to have a life apart from, or at a safe distance from, a relatively safe distance from these contagions, this wireless, this false spiritual energy. And so that's what I'm faced with right now. I'm not really, and that's the thing, one of the big, before I went to Hawaii in July of 2019, I was being brutalized, all right, you know, so, and by her. She was much stronger because I was, hang on here. Okay, just passed another couple. Where was I? Yeah, so for a woman, it's all or nothing. And my mom, for some reason, you know, she continues to just chew on her anger, her resentment, her sense of defilement and just being disrespected and being unloved and rejected by my father, who had, you know, drinking problems. He physically abused her a fair amount, mentally abused her as much as he could, you know, calling her fat and demanding that she not have a job outside, you know, just she stay home all the time, blah, blah, blah. All this stuff. Just trying to reduce her self-esteem. And so that's where I am right now. This girl, I'm not really angry with her because I never really understood. She's just following a pathway that God has made available to her. You know, I was not ready for either her or for spiritual realization of my body. In my mind, to my best judgment, I was not ready for it. So I rejected both at this time. Yet I have been completely I didn't mean any harm to the path I'm on or to this girl. Yeah, I rejected her astral body in a big way. But that was only because the effect of her presence in me was to supplant or replace God in me. And that was unacceptable. But when God came to grant me, I guess, my wish after, how many years was it? I don't know, 1994 through 26 years, 25 years. You see, 24 or 25 years of abstaining, resisting this final conclusion to my limited self-consciousness, I persisted in that because it was still not safe in my, and it wasn't, but it is what it is. Because I rejected her and failed to follow up with an acceptance of self-transcendence in myself, the karma of rejecting her is completely placed on me, or at least a tremendous amount of it is. I would like to think that she's I would like to think that she's suffering some, that these all night long, wearing me out sessions, sucking energy off my chest and solar plexus during the day, sucking energy from my cerebellum, blocking my ability to think well. I mean, maybe she gets such a high from just draining me that it's actually not a bad thing. That she doesn't have rings in her eyes, that there's no sign of wear in her, that she's glowing. She has this sort of supernatural glow about her, which is what I saw. I saw the case with her and this gal that I knew many years ago had a similar capacity. There's just sort of a supernatural charge to them. She's feeding off of me, but again, I would like to think that some of it is a struggle for her, just out of equity. I'm suffering like shit. I'm not able to be really present for my mother. I've had to run away from my job, my professional obligations. It's just been fucked. I've learned a lot, but I learned a lot of stuff that Well, it is what it is. I mean, I learned what I needed to learn. I learned what I learned because of the decisions I made. Blah, blah, blah. So she's after my complete destruction, and that's kind of what and I'm going to end it here. I'm almost back to my place. There's no achieving, I believe there's no achieving equilibrium with this antagonistic energetic presence. I mean, even as I left for this walk today, I mean, I was being shoved out the door because she was drilling into my bindu point. And up above that, below my rib cage, just going out of her way to just exhaust me and to commandeer my power center. And even though she, you know, had plenty of control during the night and, you know, give it a few hours rest. But I think she's found that if she gives me 6 hours rest, God starts to lift this body of mine up. That's definitely the case. So anytime she forgets me or leaves me alone, if it's for more than a day or two, I truly start to pull away from her. And I start to feel giddy in my body. I start to be able to have the energy for hiking after school. And I'm thinking clearly. And my whole body starts to pull away from her. And it steamrolls. So God is constantly in the background, ready to provide an avenue of escape to me. But it just tends to be overwhelmed or limited by her presence when she gives me her undivided attention, for the most part. And that's it for now. Over and out.